The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Shame on you. So if you miss that big smile, that warm embrace, you know, Joyce is unique. She likes to just touch everybody. Amen. Well, you can be touched Wednesdays, next Sunday. Amen. And right now, I want you to be touched by the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And beginning at verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready. I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, that is, Jesus said to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And today I want to talk about when you are converted. When you are converted. Now, to be converted simply means to revert back to the Lord, or to return or turn to the Lord. There are two kinds of conversions. Now, the first kind has to do with a sinner. A sinner turns to the Lord, and it is called repentance. Everybody say repentance. And the second kind of conversion is called when a believer returns. And that's a critical word. When a believer returns to the Lord, that is called restoration. Everybody say restoration. Now, when you believe in Jesus Christ, what Satan wants to do is crush your faith like a grain of wheat. He wants to destroy your faith in God. But here's the good news, beloved. If your faith should ever falter, God would not let it fail. Now, you may let it fail, but God may not let it. He will not let it fail. Because God's attitude is, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. You see, many of us have gone through things in life. Many of us have fallen on hard places. We've yielded to temptations. We've found ourselves in some difficult situations. And God gave us the grace through the faith he put on the inside of us. To every man is dealt the measure of faith. And God gave us that faith to find the way of escape. But he says, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. Now, there's two ways to learn lessons in life. You can learn by listening, or you can learn by pain. But I'd rather learn by listening. But you're going to learn one way or the other. And I'd rather listen to the person who's already gone through the pain. when they've already fallen, I want them to share their testimony with me to strengthen me. When they've already fallen into a trap of the enemy, share your testimony with me, how you got out of that, how you got over. I want to learn from your testimony, so when you return to the Lord, strengthen me, your brother. Now, I've been around a long time, and I've seen even ministers, pastors, that have fallen. I mean, fallen hard. Immorality, you name it, theft, mismanagement, all kind of stuff goes on in church. But you know what? I have learned from those that have shared their pitfalls with me. And what I've learned is that I must depend on God in every situation. And so because I was able to learn from them, I have been strengthened. I am not all that in and of myself. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am a man that has never had a significant more failure all the lives I've been working with, all the years I've been working with God, living for God. I am a man that's never had a breach in my marriage in over 41 years. And it isn't because I'm all that. It's because I've learned from the mistakes of others. And because of their mistakes, I am now strengthened. So the Lord says here to Peter, and please notice he says Simon. He addresses him by his birth name. You see, Jesus named Simon Peter, but his father and mother named him Simon. And Jesus says to Simon, and he repeats it, Simon, Simon, what's going on here? Jesus is saying, Simon, Simon, because this is an expression of love. This is an expression of affection. This is Jesus being tender with his disciple. And he is not being rough. He is not being harsh with him. He is saying this. He's giving him a warning, but he's giving it to him in love. And that's what you got to learn, the beloved. You got to learn to speak the truth in love. And when you love somebody, you don't have to raise your voice at them. And when you love somebody, you don't have to get angry. You may get angry, but you don't have to. So Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked for permission. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Now, why is Jesus saying this to Simon? If you look at the verses preceding this passage, you'll find where the disciples of Jesus were striving against one another, talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. There's a lot of people like that in this day and this time. We think we're all that in a bag of chips, and it takes the Lord to come along and give us a warning and say, you better watch yourself. You're striving about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, and you don't even realize that the devil has asked for permission to destroy your faith. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. He wants to have his way with you. And why did Satan desire Simon? Because Simon was the leader of all the apostles. He was considered the lead apostle. And if the enemy could take him out, then he had the rest of them. You better be careful. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's looking up at you. And if you don't stand, they may fall. But thank God, the Lord says, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. He said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. I remember as a young boy, my mother had a sifter in the house. And she would put flour in that sifter when she was making biscuits or making a pie crust. And the purpose of a sifter is to sift out everything except that which is solid, that which is still whole, but everything else is sifted out. Now, Jesus says to Peter that Satan desires to sift you as wheat. In other words, he desires to sift you out of God's sifter. You see, only that which is wholesome and good, only that which is whole, only that which is sound remains in the sifter. And Jesus says to Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He wants you out of the sieve of God. He says, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. But he didn't pray for Peter not to fail. Sometimes it takes a failure in your life for you to really get in touch with God. I know you don't like this kind of preaching, but it's the truth. Now, the Lord did not pray for Simon not to fail, but he says, I pray that your faith fail not. Even though Satan has asked for permission to destroy you and your faith. But I'm praying for you. But I'm not praying that you don't yield to temptation. I'm not praying that you would not deny me. I am praying that your faith fail not. I'm reminded of the same kind of permission. You know, the enemy has to get permission to come against you because you belong to God. And either God's going to give him permission or you may give him permission. But either way, permission has to be given. He clearly said to Simon, Satan has asked for permission. He has desired to sift you as wheat. Well, Satan also asked for permission against Job, to destroy Job. Remember Job chapter 1. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord, and Satan came along with them. Now, I need you to understand something here. The sons of God are the angels of God. Why does Satan come along with them? Because he's also an angel. He happens to be a fallen angel. Now, when you look at Job chapter 1, verse 6, when it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves unto the Lord, and Satan came along with them, that ought to be an eye-opener. Satan could be sitting up in this church right now, and you don't even realize that the enemy sitting up in this church because he disguises himself as a saint of God. We think the enemy's on the outside. We think the enemy's in some dark place, but oftentimes the enemy could be sitting next to you up in church. But they came to present themselves unto the Lord, and Satan was there with them. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? In other words, where you been? He says, I've been walking through and fro the earth. I've been walking up and down in it. Come on. And that's exactly what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there's none like him in all the earth, a man that fears God, and he excuses or shuns all evil. And Satan said to the Lord, well, you have placed a hedge around him. You have blessed his house on every side. You have blessed the hands of his work. You have prospered him. And if you would just remove your hand off of him, I'll get him to curse you to your face. This is what Satan undoubtedly said to God about Peter. If you would just lift your hand off on him, just take your hand off of him, and I'll get him to deny that Jesus is the Christ. So the Lord says, all he has is in your hands, but you better not touch him. That's permission. God says you can touch his possessions, but don't touch him. Now, many of us, if our possession was touched, we would give up on God. If many of us, we lost our possessions, we would think God has forsaken us. No, God has not forsaken us when things go awry with our possessions. When we lose money and things and material things, those things can be replaced. So God says you can touch his possessions, but don't touch his soul. Keep your hands off of him. And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord to seek and devour Job and his possessions. This is what's happening here with Peter. Jesus knew that Satan had asked for permission to destroy Peter, because if you can destroy the rock, and that's who Peter was, he was the rock. If you could destroy the rock, then none of the other disciples would have been able to stand. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And when you're converted, in other words, when you come back to me again. See, Peter was already a believer, and he said to this believer, when you come back to me again, when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. It doesn't do any good to come out of a test or a trial victoriously if you don't want to share it with somebody else. Because no matter what you're going through, somebody else is going through something the same, if not worse. And we need to learn how to strengthen one another, not get nibby and get up all people's get up in their business. No, no, I'm not suggesting that. I am saying we need to learn how to strengthen somebody that's going through something. You've gone down that path already. Been there, done that. And I'm telling you, hold on to your faith. Hold on your faith. This too shall change. It shall pass. Come on. This too shall pass. And Peter said to the Lord, like many of us, I'm ready. It's amazing to me how many people think they're ready and they're not. They're using a metric that God doesn't use. They're using some other measuring stick. Peter said, I am ready. How's it that Peter thought he was ready, but this same man on the same day will deny three times that he even know Jesus Christ? But he said, I am ready. How many of you have said, I'm ready? Or you thought that you were ready, and you weren't ready at all? You don't know if you're ready until you face the test. You're not ready to be promoted to the 12th grade until you pass all your tests in the 11th grade. And some of us are not even in spiritual high school. We're still in grammar school and middle school, and you can't graduate or matriculate to high school until you're ready. Peter says, I'm ready. It's amazing how many people think they're ready. What are you basing your readiness on? Are you basing it on something you think about yourself or something somebody else told you about yourself? And I don't care how many people are glad slapping you on your back. It doesn't mean that you're in the place that God wants you to be. There's always room at the top. So Peter said, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and unto death. Peter said, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to jail with you. I'm ready to die with you. But as soon as Jesus was arrested, fear set in. Peter and the other disciples, they went as cowards out into hiding. Now please notice, Satan did his desire to sift Judas. He already had Judas. He doesn't have to ask permission for you if you already have you. He already had Judas. So Peter said, I'm ready to go to jail with you. I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus said to him, verse 34, I tell you, Peter, that the cock, now he's speaking to him as someone he loves, someone he cares about. He's not speaking to him in condescending terms. or in a belittling manner. He is saying, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that you have denied that you're going to deny three times that you even know me. But yet you're telling me you're ready. But there's something in you, Peter, that's going to cause you to deny me three times. So here we see that Satan seeks permission to sift every one of us as wheat. He hopes to find something about our faith that's nothing more than the chaff, the dirt, or the dust, that which passes through the sieve, That's what he's hoping to find. But he desires to sift you as wheat so he can just blow your chaff away, blow the dust and the dirt of your life away, because your faith would have failed in God. But I love God's promise in Psalms 37, verse 23. He says, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with my hand. Now we need to understand what God is saying here. You may falter. Come on. You may fall, but you need to understand that by faith, your life is still in the hands of the Lord. I love what Proverbs 24:16 says. It says, a just man, in other words, a righteous man, he may fall seven times and rise up again. How can a righteous man fall seven times and rise up again? It's because his faith failed not. And God is always there, no matter what you're going through. God is always there, and he's given unto every one of you the measure of faith. There's the faith of God in every one of you, and no matter how weak it may you may feel, and no matter how dismal it may look, you still have the faith of God in you. And the good news is Jesus is praying for you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him. For he liveth forever to make intercessions for them. What is Hebrews saying? Hebrews is saying that Jesus is not only at the right hand of the Father, but Jesus is also praying for you. He's praying for me. He's making intercession for us. And when we think we're too tired and we can't go a step further, Jesus is praying, Father, stir up their faith. Stir up their faith. And even when you thought you was ready to give up and turn around, Jesus is praying for you, making intercessions for you, saying, Father, stir up their faith. That's what Jesus prayed for Peter. He didn't pray that Peter would avoid denying him. He didn't pray that Peter would not experience a failure in his life. Sometimes failure is good. Let me tell you something, beloved. When you fall to the bottom, there's only one way. There's only one way to go, and that's up. But if you fall to the bottom, don't forget to look up. You got to look up. If you don't look up, you won't get up. But if you look up, you can get up. And if you get up, you can go on with the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you had a failure in your life. It doesn't matter if you made a mistake in the past. What matters is your faith fell not, because it's going to take your faith to keep you from doing it again. Peter never denied the Lord after his arrest. Never. But Peter, who was in fear, who was cowardly, the same man says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to jail with you. Yeah, until the police come. I'm ready to die with you until the bullets start flying. And you look around, where are they? You see, a lot of folk can talk to talk, but it's another thing to walk to walk. You got to not only talk to talk, but you got to walk the walk, and honey, you got to roll the roll. And you got to see yourself rolling on with the Lord, not going back, but going forward. Is that right? So Jesus knew that Peter would become weak and cowardly. He knew that. Jesus knows every one of your weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. He knows that you are intrepidated by some things, intimidated by other things. The Lord knows that. But he also knows he's dealt unto you the measure of faith. So when he prayed for Peter, again, he didn't pray for Peter not to fail, to totally escape this temptation. No. He says, but I pray that your faith fail not. Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Now, Jesus' brother James understood this principle. Because in James chapter 1, James, the brother of the Lord, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I'm telling you, after Peter denied Jesus, he denied three times that he knew Jesus. But when Peter was restored, when he returned again to the Lord, when Peter got converted, he never denied the Lord again. In fact, secular history tells us that when Peter was persecuted, was arrested, and he was sentenced to be crucified, that's capital punishment, Peter says, do not crucify me right side up. I want to be crucified hanging down because I am not worthy of my Lord. I'm not worthy of my Lord. And maybe Peter had that in the back of his mind that, you know what? Blessed be his name.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.